Can I just say that it's an honor to be in your presence
Thank
today?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm incredibly proud of my twerking abilities.
Champion of 7'10", Steve Mason in the house.
Not my idea. By the way, Andy Kamenetsky's in for John today.
What's up, Andy?
You witnessed the...
I did witness it.
I would say the carnage. You witnessed the carnage.
It was something.
Yes, it was something we will talk about for years to come, and I'm sure the social media team will send out repeatedly in coming years. I heard Emily very critical of my twerking
ability.
Yeah, she wasn't as excited.
That hurt. I'm driving in, and I hear Emily just all over me and my twerking ability. Emily, what is up?
I don't know. I'm just saying you don't have necessarily the God-given shape that lends to twerking, and I think that
Cappy overcame.
And I think Cappy was more engaged. I don't know. I just thought
more engaged.
Like,
I mean,
you hit the ground.
You hit the ground. I watched a video of during the show yesterday. I watched a twerking how-to video.
Yeah.
And the one thing that that woman did is
she went to the ground
and she did the
ball game.
That made the crowd go wild.
Both of their form was basically like watching two 17-year-old dogs attempt to have sex after like 15 years off the circuit, and they're like trying to remember what they're supposed to be doing.
This feels vaguely familiar. Yeah. What do you make of that description?
I think it's fair. I think it's an absolutely fair description. It's something you can't unsee. It is all over our social media, and at Juan's insistence. Okay, so we had this conversation last night. I said, "Oh, so I got this video of me twerking," and I showed it to him. And he's like, "You're ridiculous. You're just an idiot." And I said, "Yeah, I'm not going to put it on Instagram because I don't want people to think." I'm like, "He's like, you did it on the air. You have to. It is part of your brand. Is that you are a clown?
That you will do anything.
That I will do anything."
I disagree. It means you're a good twerker.
An excellent twerker.
You've been doing radio for a long time.
Yep.
You are the winner of a recent Mandy Award.
Where
would you put your twerking championship in perspective?
You know, I got to be honest and say I expected to lose. I thought I came in as a big underdog.
Well, he
underdog.
Talked to Cap yesterday, and Cap seemed like he was devastated.
I went on with Cap after I go on with them on Thursdays, and Cap was shook.
Yeah,
he was shook.
He was favorite. If you asked beforehand who was going to win, like they did with the crowd, who's going to win? Mason, Kaplan. Kaplan got the biggest cheers.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, it was so gratifying for those people in attendance to cheer for me. It really brought me great, great joy.
It's radio, but he's crying right now.
I am.
He's got a sparkle.
He's got a single glory tear.
You like me. You really, really like me. As Sally Field once said.
Right. As you were
bearing witness.
Yes, bearing witness. Thank you. What other than your dog analogy?
The dog analogy.
We might not be able to do any better than that. Are you doing play-by-play? Like, what are you doing?
No, Sedona was doing the play-by-play. I was mostly just marveling at all of this.
At greatness.
Happening.
Did you ever consider getting in on it?
No, actually, Lindsay texted me on Wednesday. I mean, this is like an out-of-the-blue text. And I don't appear particularly often on Sedano and Kaplan for one of the guys. Like, I don't hear a lot from Lindsay. Let me see if I can find this quickly so I can get the exact quote. I get a text from Lindsay while I'm at my daughter's volleyball practice. "Would you do a twerk-off at the remote tomorrow with Cap? LOL." To put this in perspective, the last time I'd gotten a text from Lindsay, October 21st.
Yeah.
And the last time I got a text before that, I'm pretty sure was in 2021.
Wow, yeah.
But anyway, my response was, "I'll concede the victory."
Yeah, no, he just said, "Nope, I surrender."
No, I got to be on the payroll before I start twerking for an audience. I'm not doing that on Caps. Like,
did you hear not my best story?
It's a great story. Is this the Thai food story?
Yes.
Oh, no, Bergman filled me in a little.
It's
terrific.
Tell me.
All right, you said, Grubhub?
I use Grubhub. Okay. I don't have my password right now, Ireland.
I've never ordered food. Never ordered food
never
from
in your
any
life,
of these services.
Ever?
Never. I haven't used DoorDash, Grubhub, none of them.
Wow.
I think I've mentioned before, I think I'm just not patient enough. I'm like, I'll just go get the food. I'll just go pick it up. Okay?
Okay.
So yesterday's the first time that I try DoorDash.
Right. Nice.
Want some Thai food?
Nice.
Me and the lady are sitting there. We're like, all right, we kind of got an idea what we're going to order. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. I create an account online. Mm-hmm. I got my profile, everything else, and get the restaurant that I want in there. And I hit submit and it says, all right, confirmed, order's done.
Nice.
Probably 35 minutes, 45 okay. minutes is when it's going to come.
It's going to show up.
Yeah. So I was picking between two different Thai restaurants. So at some point in this, I decided that I have the Thai restaurant that I'm going to order from. And for some reason, I took the address of the other Thai restaurant that I was going to order from. And I made that the delivery. Okay? So, AK, 40 minutes goes by, and I'm tracking the order, and I'm looking on my phone at this point. I'm tracking the order, and it says your food was delivered. So I go outside. I go to the condo, at the condo complex, and I look, and it's common that people will leave food out there. I look, take the dog with me. I'm like, there's no food, Rook. I go back into the house, and my girl's like, okay, let me see the app. Right. You know when they just need to take control,
yeah,
and they're
sure.
like, just, I don't know what you did. Give me the control. And she goes, why does the delivery say 910 Union Street? And I said, that's not the delivery. I said, that's the Thai restaurant. She goes, no, the Thai restaurant is this address over here.
Right.
So the first time I used DoorDash for a delivery food service, we're now in the car driving to 910 Union Street, which is about 5 minutes away.
Which is the Thai restaurant you didn't order from.
So somebody, a DoorDash, went to one Thai restaurant, picked up the food, went to another Thai restaurant, and dropped off the food at that Thai restaurant. I pull in, and there's the food at a different Thai restaurant.
Here's what I'm hoping.
Sitting in front, by the way, you left out of the part. The place where the food was delivered
closed,
is closed.
Dark. And there's a bag of Thai food stapled with the receipt. My name right there in front of on a bench.
Oh, that is so freaking funny.
I hope that somebody was at this other Thai restaurant long enough to see this bag. Because
who is
what
delivering us Thai
well,
food?
Well, here's what I'm hoping is happening. The Thai restaurant that got the delivery, I'm hoping that they took that as like an aggressive move from the other Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you want to see Thai food? This is Thai food.
This is war.
Right.
That was my first read too, Andy Smith. Hopefully this.
I'm creating a rivalry in Pasadena between these two
rival Thai food.
You're gonna have these two Thai food places. They're going to the mattresses.
Dinner.
Okay. How about even worse? Just to play off of that, the Thai food restaurant that I ordered food from is on Colorado. The Thai food place that it was delivered from is on Union. It's like they're probably 2 minutes away from each other, so they already know each other.
Wow.
There's already
heated. Like a warning shot over the bat. We are in. We're after you.
I feel
so
like
if that's how the food
like
service.
It's a turf battle at that point. Like it's like The Wire. They're fighting for corners.
I feel like there's a compromise in here, or a solution. You need to get him to put your address into his app. Therefore, you can get your food back.
I can get my food by ordering it through.
So what you do is you trade credit card numbers for addresses.
Yes.
And then you can just order Mace whatever he needs.
I think
because clearly you don't want to use the app.
And I don't have a Grubhub account available to me because Ireland has the password.
Yeah, so I got DoorDash. We're good.
You could order, put my address in, and have your food delivered to me.
Alan,
do you like Thai, mate?
Thai food's great.
Alan, I mean this in the kindest way possible.
You're an idiot.
Are you sophisticated enough to pull off this scheme?
No.
Between you and Mace?
No. I am definitely not.
Impossible.
The look on my girl's face was like, we ordered Thai food from DoorDash to go pick up Thai food from a different Thai food place, you idiot.
Well, you left out two important, because I was trying to help him kind of figure out where the breakdown in the procedure was. Like, how did we get that restaurant into your app as your home address? Like, this is the part I don't get. And I said to him, were you drinking? He goes, I just had a glass of wine. I said, have you had anything? He goes, well, there may have been something else involved. So I think this is, I need you to dry run this sober to see if you can get your Thai food.
Even if you have a little extra stuff, there's plenty of things we do with extra stuff.
Sure.
To have that Thai place as the staple address. Like even today when I came in, I opened up DoorDash. 910 Union Street still on there.
All your food is going to go to
910 Union Street.
It's still on there right now. I told him
he
should move in.
Really?
Move into the other Thai restaurant.
Well, you got to now send something from the first Thai restaurant to the second one. Like, you got to inflame this battle.
Yeah, make sure the one on Union Street is open so they actually receive it and they can wonder.
Just with a message, your move.
We had a DoorDash driver call in, and we were just like, okay, how often does this happen? One of the guys called. He said he went to pick up at McDonald's for somebody, picks up the food, and then goes to the deliver portion of the driver side of the app, and it's the McDonald's. It's the same.
So it's the same McDonald's.
It's the same. Like, it's like, am I supposed to walk this across that could the
happen.
Restaurant?
That's not a problem. Totally that could happen.
No, you pick it up at Playland.
I'm in the ball pit.
Those plastic balls. Yeah.
The ball pit. Bring me my Happy Meal to the ball pit.
I'm not getting out of here.
Yeah, I'm having a hell of a time. Why do I want to go anywhere?
No God, contact with the ball pit.
Man, sleep. DoorDash. What a night.
Yeah.
So will you use it again, or have you?
Oh yeah, no. I was coming in prepared to talk about. Man, that was easy. That was convenient. Why don't I use this thing more often? And now I just did the exact same thing I've done all the time as I picked up my food from the restaurant.
Before you figured out what went wrong and you're getting angry about this, did you leave like a one-star experience with DoorDash?
He did. He said he picked the tip option that was the third most lucrative. Then he tipped the guy.
Number four. What percentage is number four?
20%? So
I think so.
I think it was 15 is what I left. I think I left 15.
20, 25, I think is what it is, right?
No, because I think there's
four
options.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Yeah.
15, 18, 20, 25.
I did the third option, whatever that third option.
I think you did 20. I think so.
He deserved 20.
Two blocks.
Yeah, he deserved 20. What did you leave yourself after you picked it up?
I actually,
I
delivered Thai food to a different address for somebody else.
I hope you're going to be generous, otherwise your star rating is going to go down.
Okay, I didn't realize that I actually signed up to be a driver for DoorDash as well.
You filled out an application.
I filled out. They read my credit.
How's the gig economy going, Alan?
All right, I got a quick one before we get out of here. Kershaw is going to come back to the Dodgers.
Yeah,
no big surprise there.
Which is great.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. Al and I were kind of talking, and I'm going to take Kobe and Magic and take them off the table because they're the obvious guys, right? When you think about legends of this city, athletic legends of the city, and we're not talking broadcasters and owners. We're talking the athletes themselves. So no Vin, no Chick Hearn. Where does Clayton Kershaw fall on this as far as the way that we just Magic, Kobe, universally loved, respected, admired, all of these things? Where does Kershaw kind of fall into this? Because he's obviously on the list, but could he be the next name on that list?
Like, are we doing Mount Rushmore?
Not Mount Rushmore, but just
well,
because,
you think about a Magic, Kareem.
But Kareem is respected. He's not loved, Mace. Kareem is not loved.
And when you start breaking this stuff down, he's not a lifer.
Right. And like, for instance, the guy that kind of sprung to mind for me is Fernando. Because not only was he a great player.
Now he's a great broadcaster. Great beloved.
And a cultural icon, right? Somebody that impacted the culture of the city for the time that he was here. He was embraced on a level that went beyond just, hey, he's a really good pitcher. He was their favorite son. He was every Dodger fan's favorite player. Kershaw, I don't know if he's that. He's a better pitcher, obviously.
I have been very... You know, he's an interesting player because I remember... You know, I went to a lot of the playoff games. Remember the St. Louis games? We always got stung by St. Louis.
Yep. Matt Adams.
One era. And I was Matt Adams.
Fat Matt Adams.
And, you know, I remember, for some reason, I'm very empathetic towards Kershaw and his bat. I mean, I've rooted for him because he's had to, you know, it took him a while to get the championship.
He's super likable. He's good with the media. He's a great teammate. Everybody seems to like him.
Community. Yep. Yeah. I mean, all the way. Yeah, I think he's right up there. He's right up there. What do you think? 1 year, $17 million.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's probably good. And by the way,
everybody's the All-Star game and he should
everybody's
have.
Like, oh, they're giving a contract just because he's been here. No, he was 12
no, he had a good year.
12
had
and
a really
3
good year.
With a 2.25 ERA and started the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm. So go back before two seasons ago. I was like, hey, listen, be careful with this guy. Do not give him a long-term deal. This is going to look bad. Couldn't have been more wrong about that. He is still – this is not a – lifetime achievement contract. This is he's our second best.
Honestly, and they didn't give him a long-term deal, and it's okay, right? Like, this is the perfect way that they should be using
him. The last long-term deal he got was the legacy deal.
Right.
And, you know, and I don't have an issue with it. He's Clayton Kershaw. He is arguably the best pitcher in Dodger history. He's going to be one of the best, you know, top five Dodgers, period, in history. But, like, this contract isn't a legacy play other than the fact that both sides want Clayton Kershaw to be a lifer.
Right. This is a we want you to be our number three starter play.
Is he not number two next year?
Julio Gonsolin. Gonsolin was so good this year.
He was. I'm not trying to throw cold water on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to need to see that again.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to see that again.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
I mean,
by the way, that's why I wouldn't spend big on Tyler Anderson, because I need to see that again.
We're on the same page.
Yeah.
And by the way, I not only see it again, I'm more likely that he'll be good here. He goes back, the Reds give him a bunch of
runs. Can I just say that?
Good luck. The
Tyler Anderson part, too. But see what again? He was great in the regular season and great in the postseason too.
Guys,
you know, in his one start, he was good.
Guys pop up every once in a while and have a year. That's why Urias and Kershaw and Buehler and those guys—they're different dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Guys have good years.
But he's not trying to be an ace. Nobody's saying he's an ace.
But he might get paid ace money.
He might get
close.
He won 16 games.
That's
one of those. Let's be a little cautious.
Plus, you got theoretically Dustin May.
Yeah, he's your fourth guy. He's the mm-hmm. number four, and then you got to figure out number five from there.
God, I'm looking at the Mason and Ireland Mafia, and the number of pictures in there with me doing stupid stuff is extraordinary. I think I broke all the records for pictures of stupid stuff.
I'm just going to put it on loop on my drive home. I'm just going to listen to it the entire way. I'm going to take a break from your show and just watch you twerk for my hour drive home.
Excellent.
Mason and Ireland coming up next. Andy's in for John. We'll see you on Monday. Go Rams!
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Oh, Jorge, no growl from Jorge today. You're still nursing the voice along,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Growl, what's wrong with you?
Damn.
There you go. At least
so, Jorge, describe what you're wearing.
I'm wearing a chain that says, Mason is the Twerk King.
Yeah! Twerk King! I like that, man. How'd you turn that around so fast?
Oh, I know people.
You know people. There you go. Andy Kamenetsky's in for John today. And, you know, it's always Fridays.
It Friday.
And Ireland will just let you know up front. I think he tweeted this out. He's in health and safety protocols. I don't know. That's like maybe number three time for him.
His punch card is getting used.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's getting close to that free latte.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, we always screw around on Friday. This morning, This was my morning. So I woke up early, and I had all these stories set aside, and I put all these stories on our little prep sheet that we use, this shared Google Doc, and everybody's got access to it. We should probably give listeners a chance to look at it. What do you think, Bergman?
No one's going to understand what it looks like anyway. Right. You've done it before.
So I filled a bunch
of different colors. It's a rainbow. It's crazy.
It is a hot mess.
It is.
Can you follow it at all, Andy?
Only because I've worked with you guys long enough that I sort of speak your language and can follow this document.
Whoa. Don't say you're like as in all of us. This is one person. This is one person's language.
I am the
it's
one
Steve
that does
Mason's language.
The prep sheet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We all speak
it's all
Mason.
Me.
I was trying to assign equal blame.
No, my God.
I don't want any.
No.
But I've worked with Mace long enough that I speak Mace.
Better.
So I can follow this. But no, somebody untrained, a newbie, there's no way they could.
It's really what my brain is like. It spills out onto the, and it's colors, and it's it's like Bill Walton, the colors.
Yeah.
So
it just feels like 420. This document feels like 420.
More than 420.
So I get up this morning early and I put a bunch of stories.
840?
Put a bunch of stories up there, right? And then it's about 10:30 and I'm like, you know what? I'll just watch a little SportsCenter. I got the show done and it's effing Friday and, you know, everybody's cool. And fell sound asleep.
Wow.
10:30 in the morning. I got my nap in. Juan comes home. He had Fredo at the vet, comes home. He's like, it's 11:30. He's like, are you going to work today? But you know what? I feel refreshed. I feel ready to go. Sleep, by the way, one of the most underrated parts of life.
Well, this is
sleep.
This is what they do, like in Europe and places around the world. They give you nap time.
Yeah.
Like they give you your downtime. It's only in America where we've convinced ourselves that rise and grind is the way you should live 24/7.
Yep.
Wow. That we don't value our sleep.
Yeah, and we do. Nobody sleeps as much as me.
Wow.
No, nobody does sleep as much as you, but you should be nice and refreshed then. This should be one of your best shows of the week because you're so refreshed now.
You know what? So, Freddie Prinze, brand new Christmas
Freddie
movie.
Freddie Prinze!
On Netflix. It's called Christmas With You. I bagged on Hallmark Christmas movies, but Netflix, I know, does them right. So, I want to see the Freddie one. And also, this is a John Ireland. Not is he doing the game tonight or no?
No,
he's not. He's in health and safety protocol, so he's got a chance to watch the new Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie called Falling for Christmas. It has premiered on Netflix, co-starring Michael Damian. Remember Michael Damian?
No, who is that?
It's like an old-time singer, and he was on a soap opera for a long time.
I have no idea who that is.
And Annie knows everybody. So
pull up Michael Damian. You'll recognize the music. So anyway, that's good news. Yesterday,
can we have him on next week, and he can talk about his movie?
You know, I have tried to get Freddie on. He does not like you, Greg.
No, every time. Well, that's true. But
he really doesn't.
No, I mean you're saying that, but it's not true. But either way, like he just won't come on. I don't know. I think he's afraid of you.
I know he's afraid of somebody, but it's not Mace.
Yeah, no, it's not me. He's always welcome here.
I'm going to ask him right now, and let's see what he says.
Okay. We got a little piece of breaking news, we believe, and here's how difficult Twitter is to manipulate now. It appears as though, according to John Heyman, that the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw have reached a one-year, $20 million agreement for the 2023 season. So Clayton Kershaw, they were cruising towards a deal all along, and they finally did get the deal done. And if you think about the Dodgers' rotation this coming season, you know, Urias is going to be your number one. I mean, Travis thinks Kershaw number two. I don't disagree. Gonsolin, May, they'll go out and find somebody. I don't think Tyler Anderson is going to be back, and that's okay. I think he's probably going to get the Dodgers really pushed his value up. He's going to get a really good deal, but I don't think he's going to be with the Dodgers.
Well,
we'll find another five-star.
He's a really interesting guy to see what the market's going to be there for him because he had a terrific season last year. He's also been a journeyman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, you know, he's had a solid enough career, but he's never been good enough that he stayed in one place all that long. Like, what will this past season do at age, what, 32?
Yeah.
Be really interesting to see who, if anybody, commits to him long term.
You know, Jim Bowden wrote a piece this past week, who you know I like and respect and knows his stuff, says Tyler Anderson, 3 years, $30 million. He thinks somebody's going to pay him.
Well, you know what? That's not that bad. $10 million a season for Tyler Anderson? I mean, think about it this way. That's 2/3 of a Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It's not that's not that big of a commitment.
But success has got to be repeatable.
Absolutely.
You've got to be able to duplicate. And there's no, this was his 1 year, and it elevated his value, and good for him. But I don't know that's necessarily something that is repeatable for Tyler Anderson, an all-star year like he had.
Again, the template for Tyler Anderson has been, that was the outlier. That was
right.
The exception that proves the rule. Every once in a while, though, guys come into their own late in their career. Like when the Dodgers signed Justin Turner, nobody thought that was a big deal at all.
He was a backup second baseman for the Mets.
He had been an absolute disappointment in New York. Like nobody thought that was going to be impactful.
They know how to find these guys, though.
Yeah.
They know how to find these guys. All right, so the Lakers are playing tonight. We'll give you an update. LeBron is out.
They're playing.
They're playing. Yes.
Finger quotes, playing.
They're playing tonight. No LeBron. Anthony Davis questionable with some kind of illness. I don't know what it was.
It's non-COVID. It's the thing that's been affecting the whole team, because Lonnie Walker, who I guess has been upgraded to probable, but he's been dealing with that. LeBron has had it.
There's something called, I think it's called RSV or something, that's going around. My mom says she works out at John Glenn Middle School in Palm Desert, California. She says the kids have been showing up with this RSV thing.
I don't know if that's specifically what.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not a doctor.
I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, you know,
it's going around. But there is still the regular flu.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, it's become easy to forget that we used to get sick with things that weren't COVID.
Yeah.
But whatever this is, it's been knocking down a lot of Lakers. I think it's actually been going around the league. Like, there have been other teams that have been dealing with, like, virus absences that are not COVID.
Right.
But the timing of this for the Lakers could not be worse.
So here we go. 2-9 tonight at home to a team that you got to beat, you got to beat, you got to beat. You're playing one of the bad teams tonight. And we've talked about how the Lakers have a really tough schedule to start. And then it eases up. I think the next few games are Sacramento, Brooklyn on Sunday, then San Antonio after that. Does that sound right to you? These are not. I know it's Brooklyn on Sunday.
These four games coming up, it's weird to say this about November, and it would feel hyperbolic otherwise. This could make or break the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're either going to scratch and claw your way back into it, or you're going to drift to irrelevancy.
Well, the Lakers, as much as this is a flawed roster, as much as you can see the areas where they just don't stack up against
the roster,
forget the elite teams, just like the solid playoff teams,
right?
Their schedule has been legitimately brutal. They have had an absolutely brutal schedule to begin the season.
And the team looked like it was going to be an easy out when you looked at the schedule in the first place turns out to be Utah, and they're playing really, really well.
They apparently did not get the Wembanyama sweepstakes, Scoot Henderson sweepstakes tanking memo.
No, not at all.
Well, part of the issue they have is they got too many guys who, if nothing else, want to get sent to another team, want to showcase themselves for their next contract. Like, they have too many competent players, and they're a hard team to scout for because you have to watch for everybody. Like, there's no hierarchy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, right. There's no clear star driving the show.
I guess it's Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, Lauri Markkanen's probably
the guy. And he's been really good, but if Lauri Markkanen is your number one and there's not that much distance between your number one and your number seven, they're weird team to scout.
They're the opposite of top heavy.
Yeah.
They're very depth-y.
They're the opposite of the Lakers,
they're
one might say.
They're the opposite of the Lakers, exactly. All right, it's Effin' Friday. That means we just go through everything that we've got. Coming up next, how stupid is Baker Mayfield? And the Texas Longhorns have created something monumental. Tell you what that is coming up. We'll keep you up to date on everything else going on. Are you guys going to keep telling me Imrani?
Easy, John.
And Ronnie?
They whisper in my ear what I'm supposed to do. And I, of course, I only need to hear it once.
I'm Ronnie.
Here it comes. No need to mention anymore. Yep, thank you. Call Jacob. So the weekend is here. You probably got big plans. You start driving over to meet your friends and you have another car hit you. You hope this doesn't happen. But you're angry. You're frustrated. You ache. What should you do? You got to call my friend Jacob Imrani. Put this number in your phone, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Nobody plans on being in an accident, but when it happens, you want to immediately call Jacob. He and his team are available 24-7. Even in middle of the night, somebody's there. If your accident happens at midnight, you can call Jacob from the scene. For more than 25 years, he's handled all kinds of vehicle accidents, car, truck, motorcycle, Uber, Lyft, scooter, you name it. Jacob has handled them all. A lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
Call Jacob.com. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
I'm Ronnie.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, 710 ESPN and Subaru hosting our inaugural holiday-long drive-a-thon to support the Folds of Honor Foundation. Every donation provides scholarships to families of Americans fallen or disabled military and first responders. The event is taking place on Friday, December 9 at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda to celebrate Veterans Day. We're giving away spots to our holiday-long drive event. Drive-a-thon event. Words. Here's how you win. It's simple. Post a picture with your service uniform, then tag at ESPN Los Angeles. Include hashtag Veterans Day ESPN LA. We'll also be sharing the photos on our social platforms to thank everybody, men and women, who have served our country. Remember, it is Veterans Day. So we were talking a little Lakers there, and I came across this in the Mafia, and you saw it as well. There is some form of all caps protest going on right now. We had to check. By the way, Twitter is the most unreliable place in the world right now. There's real fake. There's real fake John Heyman. Mm-hmm. There's at real John Heyman. There's at John Heyman. It's very confusing.
So we don't know if this is the real at Lakers Rise We Stack Chips.
Correct.
It could be the fake one.
Could be the fake one. Exactly. No check mark at all.
But
so
you know,
red. It's got a police light
emoji.
Then it says all caps. Okay, Laker fam, protest will take place at 5 p.m. last till after the Lakers lose the game Friday. The organization is aware of the protest, so the rumors started circulating regarding trades. We are being heard. Let's make sure it sticks, LFG.
And a fire emoji.
So I don't give this protest much of a chance. Although, you know, it's amazing. It got 110 retweets.
Yes, 567 likes and counting, 79 quote tweets.
Well, maybe we're sleeping on We Stack Chips.
Well here's the problem, though, with We Stack Chips' theory. It said the rumors started circulating regarding trades. The rumors are that they're not making trades.
Yeah, that is really the rumor. Although, no, I did see one thing today.
Really?
Yeah, I did see one thing
really?
Today.
Really?
The Lakers, according, let me get it right. The Lakers do have a new target. They are reportedly, according to Chris Haynes, focusing on Washington Wizards star Bradley Beal, a star player whom, this is what he writes, Chris Haynes, a star player whom the Lakers are known to covet is Washington Wizards shooting guard Bradley Beal. Going after the 10-year veteran would only be an option if Beal were to request a trade, a tactic he has been reluctant to exercise.
I mean, that's not aggressively making calls. That's just waiting for the Wizards to fall apart.
Right, it's waiting for the... It really is. Like but I mean, you want to talk about a player... I like that player yeah. better than any of the other players I've been hearing about.
But like in that sense, I'm being as active on the trade market as Rob Pelinka. Like just waiting for Bradley Beal to become available.
Waiting for Beal is like a that's an
waiting for Godot.
Waiting for Godot, exactly. Like, waiting for Beal.
I mean, first of all, this thing with Bradley Beal, I don't mean specifically with the Lakers. I mean league-wide. It's been going on for how long?
It has been. You're right.
He just signed an extension.
Bergman, this is another Beal story. Do you think there's anything to this?
No, I don't think there's anything to it. He just signed a 5-year, $250 million contract. So we've already seen what he is when he's by himself, right? As the superstar, the lone superstar.
Correct. He can score a bunch, and the team's not very good.
And the team's not very good. So if you bring him over to the Lakers, it's kind of the same thing.
He's the number three, though.
If
he's the number three.
Right. Well, how are you going to get him? You can send Russ back to the Wizards?
They're like, yes, bring him back. Washington would have to say, we want Russ back.
First of all, is that even cap legal?
I don't even know.
Like, I'm
you
seriously
hard capped
asking.
After that?
No, I mean
Eric
like.
Eric Pincus likes to say.
Shout out to Eric Pincus. I mean like, aren't there rules about when you can
Can you go back to the original team? I think you have to go to a different team and then back.
Well, he did go to a different team.
No, he came like the Wizards to the Lakers to like the Hawks.
I'm gonna go to the trade Wizards. Machine see if this is if they'll allow me
even,
to do this.
That'll even work.
At the same time, Mace, you know they did this protest thing a few years ago. Remember? Where they stood outside of Staples when it was Staples, and there was like 10 people out there.
Is that what it's going to be tonight?
Of course, that's what it's going to be.
Are they going to
have signs? There was like one sign.
Pitchforks. Remember?
You don't remember this?
Oh.
You sent me out there with my phone, and I talked to you. God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't even. God, you have no memory.
Okay,
whatsoever.
This is interesting. According to the Real GM Trade Checker, and this is a really good site. Everybody should be aware of RealGM.com. Very informative. Bradley Beal, because of signing the contract extension, cannot be traded until January 15, 2023, which means Rob Pelinka just waiting. That's actually due diligence.
God, where will we be?
Like, 4-25.
That's the best he can do.
That's it.
That's actually him working the phones.
Literally just waiting.
That's all the man can do.
He's got one phone number, and he'll use it in January.
Well, all he's doing is just crossing days off a calendar.
All right, let's do this. I mentioned the Texas Longhorns have done something that they're very proud of. By the way, USC is home tonight to Colorado. They are modest 34.5-point favorites. UCLA is at Arizona.
No, they're home versus Arizona. Are they at Arizona?
They're at Arizona.
They're at Arizona.
And they're 18.5-point favorites.
They should be more.
They're home
versus Arizona, and they're 19.5.
19.5-point favorites. Okay, I was in the ballpark. And by the way, next week we're at USC-UCLA at the Rose Bowl. Now, you're going, right?
Most likely, if I can take Riley.
Most likely? You can take Riley?
Okay, then yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're putting together a group. Andy, you went to USC. Do you want to go next Saturday?
Next Saturday, I'm going to be in St. Louis for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
that doesn't answer the question. Do you want to go?
I would love to go.
Yeah.
Can. You can fly back from St. Louis.
Yeah, we're putting together a group. We're putting together a group to go to the game.
So Brian Cranston was supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's right. He was supposed to be. That was a lie of the day. So the Texas Longhorns are very proud. You know, are you a marching band guy? Do you like when the band comes out and does their...
Well, I mean, I went to school with USC, and USC has a terrific band.
Dr. Bartner?
Yes. Yeah, I actually interviewed him. He's a great guy, smart guy.
Legendary guy.
Yeah. So I have come to appreciate a really good college band.
Yeah. So the Longhorns apparently are very proud of their band as well. And they have created a drum that they say is the largest drum ever recorded. Apparently there's a battle between two schools about who's got the biggest drum. Our drum's bigger than yours. So Big Bertha 2 is a bass drum measuring, think about this, 114 feet and 55 feet deep.
That's awesome.
So picture that in your head, 114 feet wide in diameter, 55 feet deep. So aside from being the biggest drum in the world, they also claim it plays the lowest note ever played on a drum. And with a new wireless microphone inside it connected to the stadium speakers, it's going to shake things up. According to the drum corps leader, the bigger the diameter, the lower the note.
Yes.
If this is the biggest bass drum in the world, then it's going to be the lowest note. I don't know what kind of subwoofers they have in that stadium, but it has the ability to break windows. Everybody's going to be feeling like there's an earthquake in there. It'll rumble.
Well, you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be like when a car pulls up to you with severe bass and it's just blasting the bass. You can feel it. First of all, he's correct. I grew up playing drums.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, he is correct that... The bigger the drum, the lower it's going to be. And then you can even tune the drum on top of it to make it lower. Two things I love about this. First of all, that it's called the Big Bertha.
Big Bertha.
Like the driver.
Yes.
So you're just emphasizing the size. B, this drum is going to require like a crew
It's got to be like on a forklift.
Right,
I think,
but it's going to require multiple people to hit it.
To actually play it?
Well, normally when you play one of those drums... It's one person, and you hit either side of the skin. You obviously can't do that with a drum this size, one person.
That's a gong. That's a gong.
Yes,
it
is. That
was a bell.
No, that was a gong.
That was a gong.
Oh, it's a bell.
That's a gong.
Yeah, oh no, you're right. It's like a chime bell. It's like a clock tower bell.
Yeah, the Undertaker bell.
That's not a gong.
And that's not...
That is not a gong.
Particularly low. Yeah, do you have a drum? Yeah, find a drum, Jorge.
That's a symbol. Oh, that's a gong.
That's a symbol? That's a gong.
It's a gong.
I mean, we're close.
You're musical, I thought.
Who?
You.
Yeah, right. All right, so let's get one more in here, and then we'll get Wheel of Questions. Did you see last night's...
Snare?
That's a snare drum, yeah. That's a bass.
Yes. Or that's a timpani. It's a timpani. It's a timpani. Or
wow, that's dramatic.
The timpani, or known as the kettle drum.
Yeah. So did you
Maybe
see
you're the musical
last leader. Night's...
Yeah, I played drums!
Did you see last night's Carolina-Atlanta game?
I did not.
Oh, it was so... I didn't watch it. Amazon has got the worst games on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Who wants to see Atlanta and Carolina? Carolina won the game. But afterwards, Baker Mayfield, who's been benched, who's been replaced at quarterback, was celebrating the victory. And he began to, he had just a ball cap on, headbutt teammates who were still wearing helmets. So he's got a ball cap on, and he sees a guy with a helmet, hits his head against the helmet, hits his head against the next guy's helmet, hits his head against the next. Al Michaels actually commented on this last night during the game. Do I have that? Yeah.
In recent memory, Mayfield, oh, beautiful.
Huh.
It's a good way, and a good way to wind up in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
And then you don't get into the game.
Huh. Yeah, there he is. Good way to wind up in concussion protocol.
Look, I respect Baker Mayfield trying to remain a leader of men, even though he's no longer playing. Like, this is the closest thing he can do to, like, being one of the guys, one of the fellas.
Yeah, he's in. All right, I want to remind you guys that ESPN LA and Subaru have teamed up to recognize and award a student scholar athlete $2,500 in cash. For all you high school coaches and parents, nominate your kid or student who has excelled in the classroom and on the field. He or she needs to be a high school senior with a 3.2 grade point average or better and playing a sport. Go to ESPNLA.com. That's ESPNLA.com to make your nomination today. Love. It's what makes Subaru, Subaru. Coming up next, we will spin the wheel of questions. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This past season, technology took sports viewership to the next level. And the NHL, for example, used puck and player tracking technology to let viewers know who was doing what, where the puck went, stats, etc. And NBA teams featured digital fans in the stands to watch the game virtually, pump the players up. That was actually a lot of fun. And when it comes to hiring for your business, there is one solution that has been advancing its technology for years, ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. And then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply for your job. It's a winning formula. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So if you want to step up your hiring game, give ZipRecruiter a shot. You got nothing to lose. Why? Because right now you get a chance to try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. What are you waiting for? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, here we go. Andy Kamenetsky in for John, spinning the wheel of questions, and here is the question. What hill are you always ready to die on? What hill are you always ready to die on?
What hill am I always ready to die on?
Yep.
Oh, give us an example, Mace. What are you ready to die
on? Okay. Kindness. I will always die on the be nice to each other. I have a hat at home that says be kind. Just be nice to people. I will always die on that hill.
You know what? Actually, that's pretty similar to how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, I feel that the way you treat people in general is extremely important, not just because of what it says about you, but I feel like there's a ripple effect from it. Like, you know, the last 5, 6, 10 years has grown really hostile. I think just we have become culturally hostile.
Yep.
And that hostility builds upon itself, especially when you add in stuff like social media, the way we are connected to each other with all that hostility.
Yep.
So, you know what? I will second yours. Okay. I think that's a really good one.
Bergman?
Something similar. Honesty. I will die on the honesty hill. I've been lied to many times in my life, and I refuse to do
the
same to other people.
What's the worst lie you had?
The one that I did?
No, that somebody lied to you.
That I was being cheated on and refused to tell me that they were actually being,
yeah,
that I was
that's rough.
Being
so
cheated.
Honesty.
Honesty. You need to be honest. Okay. Very, very honest.
Jorge?
Jeez.
Thinking. Yeah. Thinking. Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you guys on the kindness and honesty.
Well, it's hard to top be good to other people.
Yeah. Like, right. No, it is hard. It is hard. But I'll tell you what. I was talking to Juan last night, and there is a person that we know, that we all know, I think, who I would argue does not have a single person in the world who says something negative about them. That they are so likable and such a good person that you can't find anybody who says, I don't like that guy.
Jorge?
Jorge is in that category.
Jorge is in that category.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that guy.
Nobody has a bad thing to say about
Jorge.
Can I take a
guess? Yeah. Mario Ruiz.
That's another
one. Too.
One.
Yeah.
David Singer, our former producer. Another one. It's like it to always
Greg
treat
Bergman.
People well. Bergman, you're not a bad guy.
No, I'm not a bad guy.
I don't hear people say, I mean, obviously on the show, we goof people. On you. Yeah, yeah. But no, people don't say bad things about Greg
Bergman.
Oh,
no, they do. It's okay.
Do they?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Who are you thinking?
David Singer.
David Singer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody,
really good dude.
Nobody. Really
I have never
guy.
Heard anybody dislike Dave Singer.
So I'll tell you this story. When I was doing the Snyder Show, Dave was the one of the producers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was one of the producers when I was doing the Tom Snyder Show. And not F. Murray Abraham. Ben Kingsley was a guest.
Ooh.
So
that's a great guest.
Ben Kingsley is in the green room. And I just finished up an interview. I think it was with somebody like Janine Garofalo or something like that. And Ben Kingsley's up next. And walk out into the green room, and there's Dave Singer talking about playing second base at Culver High School. And I'm like, why does Ben Kingsley care about that?
Here's the thing, though. You never know. And the reason I say that is because years ago, you might remember this, Brian and I had Gary Oldman as a guest on our old
Gary
podcast.
Oldman, great actor.
And he's one of my all-time favorite actors since I was like a teenager. And Oldman came in studio. We managed to get him in this building. And we asked, he was promoting Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
A movie I never understood. It was so complex, I could not understand.
It's a
I
complex,
couldn't wrap my brain around.
Yeah, it was a difficult one. It is complicated. But we asked the person doing the interview a bunch of times, is Gary Oldman into sports? Because you know this, a lot of times these guys at Junkets, they get asked the same questions over and over, and they get sick of it.
Yep.
So we thought if he likes sports, this would be a fun change of pace way for him to promote the movie. And the rep kept saying, no, he's not into sports. So we're setting him up, and like 30 seconds before the interview starts, he happens to drop that he's a big Dodger fan.
No.
Like he became a big Dodger fan from living in the States and then specifically in LA, and one of his children, I believe, became a big Dodger fan. So he developed a love of baseball through that osmosis. Turns out he likes boxing a lot too.
Yep.
So you never know. We ended up in this long conversation with him about how he, as a British guy, ended up loving baseball. So I will give Singer credit. Like, you never know.
Sir Ben Kingsley did not care that he played second base at Culver High. Did not. But I would love to have heard how the conversation generated and led to that.
Hey, sir.
Hey, so I played, what's if I played second base at... All right.
You play cricket?
I got an early Christmas song.
I've decided I hate this song now. After hearing it all week.
That is the Christmas present. My neighbors with the smoke alarm that needed a new battery got home.
Oh.
After a month.
After a month. That means no more squeaking every 5 minutes from the neighbors. It went on for a full month.
Do you plan to say something to them?
No. I think her name is Tanya, but I don't know. Nah.
I mean, she might want to know just how long this had been going on. Like, just a reminder, hey, the next time you're going to leave town for a month, check your smoke detector.
No, when was the last time you checked your smoke detector? Nobody checks their smoke detector.
When it started beeping.
Yeah, when have I ever looked
up and
checked?
She doesn't care. It's like that guy playing second base in middle school.
Exactly.
They don't care.
No, seriously, when I go on vacation, I don't check the smoke detectors beforehand.
You should get her an edible arrangement. As a thank you.
You know what? An edible arrangement is an excellent guest. Yeah, my kind of edible.
They have to make those.
Oh, they must.
I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do. But you should. You should get her something as a thank you for finally getting rid of that beeping.
So, Bergman, you are complaining. Thank you. It's gone now.
I'm complaining?
Now. Thank you. This morning on our text chain.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm complaining about that.
I do not like the way we did the World Cup. We all picked World Cup teams the other day. Just like randomly out of the blue.
Well, you guys just started naming off names.
It was first come, first serve.
There was no rules that got put out there.
I got France.
This is the way we're doing it.
I got France. Jorge.
I'm okay with that.
Argentina.
Ireland got Brazil. And Bergman, who did you pick?
I didn't. I just was told to take Spain, so I took Spain.
So now you have Spain. Jorge, is there news on the Spanish team?
Yeah, they didn't take four other major players.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Really happy about that.
Damn, that's a shame.
By the way, I'm not sure if this is exactly right. Jorge, you can back me up on it, but I don't think a team that has won the last World Cup has made it out of the group stage.
They have not.
Which means who won the World Cup 4 years ago?
France.
Oh.
So you're good pick, Mace.
No, they're going to repeat.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're missing two of their star players.
Yeah, but we still have Mbappe, right?
Yeah.
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 Plus, they got a great national anthem.
They do.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that's why I picked them. So,
can you do that again?
What's that?
Can you do that again?
Should have been your twerking song.
Yeah.
Don't think you can twerk to that, but it would be funny.
All right. It's... I think this is just music from a French cafe.
Yes, right. That's exactly what it is.
It's not actually
some guy with an accordion.
when you go, you've been to Europe, right? There are always people with accordions.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to Europe, in Mexico too.
Yeah, in Mexico too. Yeah. My mom grew up playing the accordion.
Really?
Oh yeah. She grew up playing. We still have an accordion for her, and she could squeeze that thing.
Has anybody been prominent with the accordion since Weird Al Yankovic?
Boy, somebody's got to bring the accordion back.
I've heard, by the way, that Weird Al movie bio pick is hilarious. It's supposed to be great. Daniel Radcliffe.
I've heard
it is really, really entertaining. But I can't think of anybody associated with accordion since Weird Al.
So we were in, where were we? In Florence. And it was... hellish. It was summer and it was like 100 degrees and there are people with paintings or pictures on the ground all over the place. Do you want to buy this one? Do you want to buy that one? So Juan apparently stepped on one of these pictures, stepped on the edge of it. And you step on it,
you buy it.
So we had to buy one of this. It's such a total scam. Oh, we're just just Italian music today. All right, coming up next week, it's National Singles Day, and we will celebrate one of the great single people in the world. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.